First off, just as a little bit of a reflection, could you take us through a bit more about what's actually been said at the United Nations, just recently regarding these refugees on Manus?
Yes, certainly. Well, the United Nations is, of course, extremely concerned about the asylum seekers and refugees that are on Manus, and also those on Nauru. They have repeatedly said that these people are the responsibility of Australia. And that's because those people originally came to Australia seeking asylum, and Australia has international obligations through the Refugee Convention to properly assess those people and also to ensure that those people are, you know, treated well and have access to the best possible life they can while they're being assessed. And the concern, of course, that the United Nations has is that that hasn't happened, and by sending them off to Manus, Australia has really shirked its international responsibilities.
Now, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights has stated that PNG originally was responsible for the refugees. But as we mentioned there, the UN High Court Commissioner for Refugees, Rico Salcedo, has claimed that Australia is responsible.
Yes.
Why is there this division between who needs to be claiming responsibility?
Well, it's not actually a division, because what the UN is saying through the High Commissioner for Human Rights is that as a matter of human rights and the well-being of those people who are on Manus, it is the responsibility of the PNG government to ensure that their well-being is met. And this is talking about issues of safety. There's been lots of reports that they've come under attack and violence from locals, that they haven't been given proper condition, you know, proper facilities. So those are the things that the High Commissioner for Human Rights is talking about. But more broadly, there is an obligation regarding their asylum, the fact that they're seeking asylum and their refugee status. And what's being said there is that Australia has a broader responsibility to resolve the issues of these people who are asylum seekers. And that means they've fled their countries out of necessity. They've been, many of them, found to be refugees. And Australia's obligations are that they then offer them protection. So they've outsourced, in a way, those obligations, but it doesn't mean those obligations end at international law.
Do the idea behind these obligations, or do these obligations really jibe with the policy of offshore processing?
Yes, absolutely they do. It's sort of like this. If you had a community that was prone to flooding, say, and you had some people with a little more wealth who lived up on the hill and clearly weren't going to be affected as much by flooding, and as a community then everybody got together and said, look, if we do get a flood, those who live in lower areas who are going to be affected by the flood can come up the hill and stay with us and we'll look after you until the flood subsides. Having made that arrangement, when the flood actually happens and those people from the lower-lying areas move up the hill, those at the top of the hill say, no, 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 sorry, we didn't really mean it, we don't really want you, and push them back down to the lower-lying areas and perhaps try to push them into houses that are sort of still at risk but not quite as submerged as their own houses. That is really what has happened here. So Australia, through international obligations, have signed up. No one's forced them into it. They've signed up as a good global citizen, as part of a global world, to accept refugees or asylum seekers when they come to our shores needing protection. And remember, these people are not just coming for the fun of it. They're fleeing situations they had to flee. So we've said we'll accept them, and then what we've done is we've tried to outsource that responsibility by buying it or paying off a smaller nation in need of those funds and push our responsibilities in that direction. So when you see it in that context, you can see that as an international agency, the UN is not going to be very happy with that behaviour.
Aside from some perhaps rightfully deserved condemnation, does the UN have any way of pursuing Australia for breaching these kind of agreements? Because it's all well and good for governments to go around signing all the agreements they like, but if they're going to breach them, well, just basically out of hand, as it would appear the Australian government has been doing, is there really any way of pursuing or punishing them for that?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. And it's a question that we struggle, I think, in Australia to get our heads around, because we come from a tradition of a hierarchy of courts and consequences for breaking laws. The UN model is a consensus model. So what that means is that countries such as Australia sign up to these agreements in order to improve the global situation. Now, you never know at what point that's going to benefit you as a country, or you're going to need to assist other countries. That's the point of the global community. What we're saying is when other countries need assistance, we're there, and when we're going to need it, other people will be there. But it's almost like a contractual arrangement. It's a consensus model. So there is no enforcement provisions per se, but if Australia doesn't continue to be a good global citizen, which traditionally I have to say it has been, I mean, we have a long history of being an excellent global citizen, and we still are in many areas. If we continue to fall down in these specific areas, though, what happens is it undermines our standing in the global community. And while the consequences for that might not be immediate and direct, they will be there long-term, often when we least expect it, in terms of our ability to negotiate and to deal with other nations in the world.
That is a bit ominous right there. Just finally, Anna, obviously the coalition government, Labor, they've been pretty much bipartisan on our approach to stopping the boats, offshore detention and the likes. Have we seen any response from Australian politicians to this this latest outcry from the UN?
Look, that's a really good question as well. I think that there are cracks appearing. I think there are people on both sides of the aisle who are starting to see just how inhumane these policies are, what the legacy is of these policies, and how detrimental it will be to Australia and Australia's standing in the global community going forward. Whether that's then translated into public comment, you know, I think there will be more of that going forward, because I think people are becoming aware we can't continue in the way that we have.